This week on Jaguars Weekend, the losing streak continued in Buffalo. This week, the Jags are back at home to host the Super Bowl champs. We're sitting down with the head coach for a preview. And the holiday season is here. The Jaguars are giving back. All that and more ahead on Jaguars Weekend.
This is Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Building the American dream, one home at a time. Brought to you by GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. Visit geico.com for a free rate quote. EverBank. It's your money. Make the most of it. And by Cadillac.
These guys are professionals. And, you know, they know when you go through tough times like this, you just got to work. And you just got to go through it and stay strong with one another and keep doing the things that you're doing that you believe are helping you get to a place.
Frustration all around the Jaguars organization as the Jags head into December looking for a way out of a six-game losing skid. And welcome into Jaguars Weekend presented by Dreamfinders Homes. J.P. Shadrick with you. Another difficult loss last week for the Jags in Buffalo, and this dropped the record now to 2-9. But dead ahead, the stretch run and three home games in the month of December. After another challenging loss, the Jaguars got back in the film room Monday, and only a few big plays made the difference.
The way they played and the way they go after their job is impressive to me, and you just hurt because, you know, you want those wins to come with it.
After a promising start from Chris Ivory, the Jaguars' ground game took on a different look.
It's part of kind of the work with Nathaniel that is now 4 weeks or whatever into it with him, and kind of just knowing what the progression is on each play. And he's very adamant with, if it's not there, take off and run.
Up next, Von Miller and the defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos, who need wins to stay in the playoff hunt.
Obviously, you got to work as hard as you can to prepare. I mean, whether that's, facing dynamic guys in practice, whether that's, just studying what he does. But at the end of the day, it's a mixture of a little bit of everything you can do. Because, at the end of the day, he's going to be a different animal than what you've seen all week. So you just have to be prepared for that.
Maybe a little home cooking will help the Jags.
We haven't won at home yet this year. I know London doesn't count. So, I think this will be key for us. If you want to get things heading to the right direction, we got to get a home field advantage, and win at home. We got two games coming up. Yeah, it's two tough opponents, but I think this will be a step in the right direction.
This week's game is brought to you by SunPass Prepaid Toll Program. Visit sunpass.com. We welcome in Brian Sexton and John Osier. A game at EverBank Field, fairly rare for this season, but three coming up in December. You got to get a win in the stadium at some point.
I don't care if they're playing in my driveway. They got to get a win at this point. I mean, they've lost six in a row. But, they haven't won since last December here. And, I don't know what changes when you get at home, because with a 2-9 record, I don't know how much enthusiasm you're going to have. But if you don't get this one, then the enthusiasm for the next one is not going to be very good either.
You can't risk apathy, right? You just can't. I know in my own house, my three kids are like, yeah, maybe we'll go, maybe we won't, right? You can't have that. You need people to be excited about this team in December, especially the kids. They're not right now. This team has to win to bring the fan base in. You've heard Mark Lamping talk about local revenue. It comes from the fans. You got to win.
Yeah.
Got to win. And part of winning is getting explosive plays and not giving them up. That was the key to last week's game. The Jags defense gave up a couple of big plays in that game that led to touchdowns. They haven't done it a lot this year. How do you slow that down moving forward and then get some of the offensive stuff?
Well, this week in particular, you've got Emmanuel Sanders, who, lightning fast. And then Demaryius Thomas is, one of those big-bodied receivers who's so difficult to cover. I don't know that their running game without C.J. Anderson gives you that explosiveness, but this kid's got an arm. He threw for 350 yards last week, and those two receivers can make plays all over the field. How do you prevent those? Stay out of the wrong gap.
Usually in the NFL, the good teams win games with big plays, and the bad teams give them up. The defense, until last week, hadn't done it a lot, which is sort of the hallmark of this defense. I think the big thing is I don't think the defense for the rest of the year is going to give up a lot. The way they play defense, you usually don't. Even the Sammy Watkins play last week was good coverage. It was designed to stop that. Can the offense get them? Can Blake start hitting Marquise Lee? Can he hit Allen Robinson? Can those things come back? Haven't seen the first 11 games, but that, I think, will be the difference. If they can win a couple down the stretch, they'll be doing that.
Yeah, a few key drops earlier in the season as well that gave up some big plays, too. Now, quickly here, guys, 2-9 record. handful of games to go here. The motivation, will they continue to play hard? It seems like they will.
Yeah, I think they will. And I talked to Telvin Smith about this, and he talked about it after the game, and it was interesting. You're looking for things at this point in the season. Why are they playing? What's keeping this together? Because it still feels together, Brian, when you go in that locker room. And Telvin said it best. They're still building for the future. They believe they're good. They're holding on to that. I think people outside don't see that, but I do feel it from people like Telvin Smith.
It'll stay close if they stay healthy. If they have a bunch of injuries, it'll be tough for them.
There's more ahead on Jaguars Weekend. We sit down with head coach Gus Bradley for a closer look at Broncos pass rusher Von Miller. And a Jaguars wide receiver helps make the holiday season brighter for children in need. And we fire up the grill this week for a swordfish dish on game day grub. That's all coming up, but first a closer look at former safety Donovan Darius on Classic Jags, presented by Lexus.
Strong safety Donovan Darius' legend began the moment he strapped on a helmet. Part of it was his own creation. He wanted you to know that if you were going over the middle, you were going to get rocked.
Donovan Darius brings violence to the game. That's what he was. From the moment he showed up here, he was chiseled out of granite. He wasn't a cover guy. He wasn't going to turn and run with anybody. What he was going to do was bring 220 pounds downhill on any back coming out of the backfield.
But you take Donovan Darius back in the old days, and he would be lauded for being the enforcer. Donovan Darius would have been one of the greats.
It might not be fair to say that Darius didn't care about coverage. He had to, at least to some degree. However, it is fair to say that Darius cared about blowing people up. The middle of the field was his territory.
Donovan Darius was a big, big, physical defensive back. He probably could have played linebacker and was worth at least one good personal foul a game.
As a strong safety, he wasn't a great cover guy, but he wasn't asked to be a great cover guy. He was asked to intimidate. He was asked to help stop the run. We're very, very good defensive teams, and he was a big part of that in terms of that ability to intimidate from the back end.
He has his detractors. In the history of the NFL, one-dimensional players generally do. His legend in North Florida is secure. He wouldn't have it any other way.
A first possession touchdown for the first time since week two of last season. That'll fire up a sideline. Check out the full Sounds of the Game feature on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Now, the Denver Broncos are coming into Everbank Field this week, the defending Super Bowl champions. The MVP of that Super Bowl was pass rusher Von Miller, and he cashed in with a huge contract extension in the offseason. We take a closer look at his game in 2016. Jeff Lagerman is in the film room with Gus Bradley. It's presented by Cadillac.
You know, Gus, Sunday night, I was watching Sunday Night Football. It was Kansas City and the Denver Broncos, and it might have been the greatest display of two outside linebackers in one game that I've ever seen. Justin Houston and Von Miller.
Well, first of all, that you watched the whole game, you knew
it. I did. I stayed up.
But, yeah, two very talented rushers, two, you know, very talented on the edge, and they do a variety of tasks, as we'll see on this tape.
Well, Von Miller had 3 sacks, 10 tackles in this ball game, but he's not just a pass rusher, is he?
No, you know, here they run a counter play with the guard leading at him. And, you know, whether he's outside or spills it, the ability to use his hands, diagnose the play, come underneath, and make the play versus the run, that's why he's so difficult to block on the perimeter.
All right, so if I'm a fan and I'm watching this next play, and Gus Bradley is the defensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos here, I'm going to go, what is Gus Bradley doing dropping Von Miller into coverage?
Well, you know what? It makes their pass rush even more effective because, you know, when you turn protection, if you're always turning it towards him and sometimes he's dropping, it gives other guys the ability to get a good rush. So to mix it up and have him drop at times, plus have a guy of his caliber, his athleticism that can make plays in space like this, you don't find that very often.
No, and against a guy like Tyreek Hill, he's a fantastic player for the Kansas City Chiefs. Now, this play, it's what he does best. He's leading the league with 12 and a half sacks, and he is an effective pass rusher without question.
Well, it starts with his get-off. He's got great get-off, and he beats the tackle to the point. And then his ability to use his hands, speed, use his power, but just that ability to rip underneath and come and really at a tight quarters. you know, to come back and get to the quarterback, Alex Smith. Great play by him. He's had multiple rushes like that that you, when you watch tape, you see.
And he's not the only good player. I mean, they've got, you know, DeMarcus Ware, Shane Ray, former first-round pick, Derek Wolfe. Here's a shot of all of them just really crushing the pocket.
It is. You know, they're very, very talented defensively. And they've got multiple players that make a lot of plays. And I think the two edge rushers open up for the inside guys. But they all have that temperament to get to the quarterback as fast as they can. It's a race to them. And which is very evident in this play.
Where not many teams have three guys that they roll on the outside as edge rushers like the Broncos do.
Yeah, like I said, they're very talented on the perimeter. We're going to have a great opportunity against a very good team.
All right, thank you, Gus.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks a lot. It's now time to get into the Jaguars locker room. Defensive tackle Sindarik Marks visits with a teammate each and every week. He calls it the Gold Room, but we call it Players Only.
Today we have Malik Jackson, man. Welcome to the Gold Room. Don't wave at my camera, man.
I'm sorry. I'm so curious. Sorry.
Hey, man, the Gold Room, we like to talk about stuff outside of football.
Okay.
Just basically people get to know you personally.
Okay.
Stuff that they don't see behind the scenes type stuff. Now, one thing about football, it's like the stars are aligning. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You come off a big game against Buffalo, and mm-hmm. now we got Denver coming up, your former team.
Mm-hmm.
What's the emotions with that game?
It's a lot of emotions, you know, definitely just from being in Denver and knowing all those guys and being a part of them and just wanting to show them who I am, and also going through the whole free agency thing and, you know, being let go essentially and just wanting to show them that, you know, I'm a great player and to let go of a great thing. So it's just me wanting to be able to show how much I can do but play within this defense and help these guys out and just be a team player.
Now, a lot of people see you. And on the field, we always joke about it. Every time you get mad or you get any emotions, like you just raises up. Mm-hmm. You gain like 4 inches. And a lot of people think you this big, tough, mad guy.
Mm-hmm.
But every single morning, you FaceTime with your daughter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you actually turn your little soft voice on. You get in dad mode, yeah. Man. And you just, you know, have this different feeling about yourself as a dad and talking to your daughter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man, it's awesome. It's definitely a blessing to see her every day in the morning. I FaceTime her. Is to hear her voice, and she's trying to talk now, so just to hear her and see her trying to walk and just do so much, it's amazing. You know, I miss her, and I just want to make sure I go out here every day in the football field and just give it my all, you know, do as much as I can for her so she can grow up with least stress as possible, you know, and she's my goal and my rock and what I work hard for, so it's awesome, yeah. Yeah.
Now, one thing I can say, I've seen you before you came here.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get the big check, and then now your clothes tight. Now you just a fashion guru. Come on, man, where this come from, man?
What happened, man? I was in the offseason. 5'4" came to me, man, and they said they want to help me out. You know, my swag was a little off, so you know I was able to pick up some trends. And you know, I think the one thing I heard from you, you know, the more money you get, the shorter your shorts get. So what I did was I went out and I bought some short shorts. You see, their knee cut above the knee, so more professional, frat looking, and. That's when I'm going to go say raise up. You can see how hard I've been working on my legs. See the tone in them. And, you know, that's what they're for. Yep.
Hey, man, appreciate it, man.
Appreciate
Thank you for coming
man.
Through.
No doubt.
There's still more to come. With the holiday season upon us, the Jaguars help underprivileged families. And we have a swordfish dish for the grill on game day grub. This is Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Home.
Mr. Yeah. Official.
Happy holidays, man.
Thanks, man.
Stay healthy out there.
Thank you so much. I'll try. Thank you.
Roy! Roy! Stay loose! Stay loose! I love screwing out! I love screwing out!
Safety Jonathan Cyprian mic'd up last week at the Bills game. Watch and hear the full Jags Wired segment each week on Jaguars.com. Welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. Ready or not, the holiday season is here, but the Jaguars have already started to give back. Brian Sexton has more in this Baptist Health feature.
The holiday season is the best time of the year. That is, unless it's not. A group of Jacksonville folks decided that should never be the case. And the result is Bright Holidays, which provides a spark of hope for kids and families that might otherwise do without. Leaning on volunteers and the goodwill of their fellow men and women like Aurelius and Mary L. Ben, they get out and get Christmas done for more than 800 kids.
We have a partnership with 40 schools, and they tell us which kids need the most help. The parent says, yeah, well, I want to be part of that. Here's my kids' names. Here's their ages. Here's their shoe size, their pant size. We don't actually ask what toy they need. We just try and buy age-appropriate, age and gender-appropriate toys and put them in piles. When we pull it all together, we give, you know, 12-year-old boys, 12-year-old boy kind of toys.
The Bens have two daughters and a nice life, and so the chance to lift up someone else this year was an opportunity they couldn't pass up.
It means a lot for me to be here along with my wife and, you know, being able to help kids, underprivileged kids at that. I just don't want that type of attention that, oh, I'm here giving this, giving that, giving this and that, but it's from the kindness of my heart, not just because I'm a religious man of football player.
Balls and backpacks will join toys, clothing and food that will be put together and delivered to families all over our area. Ben knows his time and money will be well spent in service to others, even if he never meets the children who will smile in gratitude and love on Christmas morning. You can help Bright Holidays with your time or a toy or gift. Visit brightholidays.org to learn more. For Jaguars Weekend, I'm Brian Sexton.
We'll see even more of that coming up in the month of December. And it's now time to get into the kitchen. It's Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. Chef Tony and Michaela Bradley, they have a special swordfish dish for you this week.
Welcome to Game Day Grub, presented by Tico People's Gas. Today we are at the Dreamfinders home in the Palms of Nakati, working with the natural gas concept. Today we've got Chef Tony along with us. We also have Joelle Caldwell, wife of Dave Caldwell, our general manager. So welcome, everybody.
Thanks for having us here. It's going to be a good time. Nice to see you this season,
nice
too.
Nice to see you.
This is going to be fantastic.
Thanks for having me back.
Well, you know, I don't know if it would be a show or a season without you.
That's right.
Of course. So, I love the seafood theme going on. You know, it's fresh. It's great. But sometimes we get caught up in the warm waters of the Gulf that we forget about the cold waters of the North and the bounty that they can give us. So today, we're going to do a Mediterranean grilled swordfish.
Right.
So here we have some wonderful swordfish fillets, which would be great on their own, but we need to season them up a little bit. Joelle, if you would, in this bowl I have some garlic with a little bit of oil.
Yum.
And I want you to squeeze the lemon in there for me, please. That half a lemon. Put this. Like as if you were working out with a strength coach.
There
right?
You go.
And we're just making it happen. So now, do you guys fancy the swordfish in your house, the meaty texture of it?
No, we don't eat as much swordfish, so I'm curious as to how we're going to prepare
it. It gets pretty similar in texture to mahi-mahi, which is a Florida favorite.
Okay.
So that's one of those things. So we have our marinade here. If you will take it, just spoon some over the top for me. And Michaela, here we have some Greek seasoning mixed with a little bit of salt and pepper.
Okay.
I want you to get in there with three fingers.
Okay.
And I want you to be about a foot high, and I want you to just sprinkle it over the top of our fish. The reason we go high is for good seasoning disbursement. So I know you have a daughter who loves to cook.
Yes.
This is a great technique to teach her to be up high as she starts to sprinkle that over. And we need to flip the fish over.
Can I use my finger?
Sure, why not? You know, these are the best utensils in the kitchen.
That's right.
And what's great is we usually come with them, so I'm pretty good with
that's
that.
Right.
So
we're armed and ready.
So
she's
going.
Yes, she's going to do it again. And once we have it seasoned, we're going to walk out to the grill where our natural gas is. We're going to get a clean cooking from that natural gas. We're going to cook it roughly about 4 minutes per side, just to make sure that the temperature is 145 degrees when we pull it off the grill. And that's our Mediterranean grilled swordfish.
For that recipe and a look at all the Game Day Grub segments, make sure you visit peoplesgas.com/cooking. There's still more to come. The defending Super Bowl champion Denver Broncos are coming to town. A preview of the Week 13 matchup is next on Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Home.
Make sure you don't leave your feet in the field now. That was damn close. All right?
Hey, you got it, right?
Hey, you heard me go back this way, right?
Malik Jackson mixing it up with the Bills fans. That's easy to get hooked into. A good day for the Jags pass rush, though. And welcome back to Jaguars Weekend, presented by Dreamfinders Homes. This week's game is brought to you by SunPass prepaid toll program. Visit sunpass.com. Well, the Broncos defense, Malik was a part of that group last year. They won the Super Bowl. Von Miller, the Super Bowl MVP, got paid. Big challenge this week, certainly, for the Jaguars offense. How do they get it done?
Good luck. I mean, and I mean that because the Broncos are really, really good. The only X factor is the Broncos start out really good defensively this year. They are still really good, but they're giving up a few more touchdowns a game in the last few games. So maybe there's something there. Maybe you can get the deep ball going. I think that's what it's going to take. I don't think you're going to march down the field methodically against this Denver defense.
No, and I think you got quick hitters. You know, you're going to have to be able to hit some tempo stuff because you don't have your blocking tight end who you could set over to that side to help. I mean, you've got Ben Koyak and Neil Sterling. You're hoping to help Jeremy Parnell with Von Miller. So you're going to have to run some slants, but you're going to have to go down the field because this running game isn't consistent enough to be able to keep them off balance.
You got to hit them when you go down the field.
How about a defensive play for the Jaguars, too? That could help on the other side, maybe getting something off the Broncos' offense.
Hadn't happened in way too long.
Right. Yeah, it's been a long time. Jalen Ramsey, we're going to say this a lot over his career, key for these guys. Whoever covers Emmanuel Sanders, and I'm guessing that's going to be part of his responsibility on Sunday, that guy, he blows things up. You've got to be able to contain him.
I think they need a pick six, a big play from the defense to turn momentum to win this.
How about Malik tipping one, catching it himself and going for the score?
I like that. He scored in the Super Bowl last year. Broncos, Jags coming up, and that's it for Jaguars Weekend presented by Dreamfinders Homes.